next week. So if we just go a few minutes, that'll be all right. Amen. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is an awesome, awesome scripture. Daniel chapter 3, let's just go ahead and start reading this thing from verse 1, okay? Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. Or look at this now. So his height was 60 cubits, 90 foot. This is a 90 foot by 9 foot statue. 90 foot by 9 foot. He set in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried, "To you is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, you do fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship that same hour will be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." Remember, the world's looking for a way to accuse us. Amen? They're going to get us any way they can. "O thy king has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whosoever falls not down and worships should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews that you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, but worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and in fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they be brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image that I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" I love this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, "Give us a couple of days, think about it." Okay, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if you put it that way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, we ain't got to even think about it. We need that kind of faith that we ain't got to think about it. Amen. "If be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." I mean, either way, whether he lets us burn or not, he's still going to deliver us out of your hand, O king. "But if not, be it known unto thee, king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for your word is powerful, Lord. And all things, in all things, Lord, this word is so unique. And it's so full of gems and so full of rubies. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us right now, Lord, to help us understand, to see, to know some of these gems and these rubies, to discover the truth in your word that is so powerful. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar found out what they did, he was so full of fury. And it's even said his form of his vision was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than it had been heated before. And he commanded the most mighty men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now what here's the question. What do you do when the heat is on? What do you do when the heat is on? We live in a time, especially this day and time, that if you are a Christian, the heat is on. I can tell you they're looking for it. They're trying to find ways to get us. They're trying to find ways to hurt us. It's amazing how the non-Christian can do something and it's swept under the rug, even in the national news. But you let a Christian or somebody trying to live a nice, decent life, they will take it and they will blow it out of proportion and they will take it all to pieces. Amen. That's what the devil's trying to do to us today. So let me ask a question. How many know that God can help you when the heat is on? Amen. He's here. God's called us all to make a difference. You know, He called us, or He created us. He made us in His image. And Jesus calls us. He said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." And the gospel challenges us to be a city on a hill that cannot be hid. We are salt and we are light. And the world, you know what? Even though the world is coming after us, they're actually crying for help. Every time they're crying for help, they want something, and we've got it. Now, here's my question. Let me ask you a question now. Now, do you really want to be a difference maker? Do you really want to be able to hang in there when the heat is on? Here's what's got to happen. Number one, you have to refuse to do nothing. Amen? You have to refuse to do nothing. Don't sit on the sidelines. Refuse to do nothing. Number two, refuse status quo. Just enough to get by in God. We need to be on fire for God. That's why we're doing Pentecost right now. We need to be on fire for God. More than just enough. And then refuse the latest spiritual fad. Amen? It's dangerous. Hang in for what God's got for us. So let me show you this. There's one thing for certain about life. It is always uncertain. I talk to people all the time that just a week ago things were good. And now this week they find out one of their kids are on drugs. Or this week they find out they've got cancer. Or this week something's different. You know, a month ago I was jumping around like my wife called me the Ever Ready Bunny. You know, and I hadn't seen the Ever Ready Bunny in me in about a month now. And I'm getting kind of aggravated. I want to see the Ever Ready Bunny again. You know, but I, you know what? I trust God. Not one time did I say, "God, why?" I just keep saying, "God, you're my strength, you're my fortress, you're my healer," and I keep trusting Him. And every day it gets a little bit stronger. Amen. So how do you prepare for times like these? Look, know this: a godly life will bring opposition. Your life is going to bring opposition to you somewhere or another. Don't expect every situation to bring you joy. Number two, godly life, if you're going to live a godly life, it's going to bring some hard choices. You may have to stand up under the heat. Amen? There's times where you're going to have to just stand there and stand up for God. Amen? And it requires that we know what we believe in, but know this, every time on the other end, there is a blessing. God has always blessed us when we stand up. Amen? So now, what do we do when the heat is on? Did you know that anybody can stand when all is well? When people are on the mountaintop, it makes easy for faith, easy for us to stand. But when there doesn't seem to be an answer, when the momentum is negative, when there's pain and it's reeling and it's creasing, and the heat is turning up, 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 that's when God is teaching you how to stand, teaching you how to show the world something different. So now, remember, sometime God delivers us from the fire, and sometime God delivers us through the fire. Think about it. How many fires have you seen God put out before you got there? And then how many times have you seen God say, "Okay, we're going in. Amen? I don't always like it when He says we're going in. You know, I like this. I saw this just the other day in Zaxby's, I think. John Wayne. It said, "Life is tough." It says, "But it's tougher if you're stupid." I took a picture of that. Amen. That was, and also John Wayne said what courage is. Courage is being afraid, but saddling up anyway. Amen. So here's the difference makers, and I'm just gonna do a few verses, and we'll finish up next week. If you're going to be a difference maker, if you're going to stand it when the heat is on, number one, you have to be a person of conviction. Amen. You have to be a person of conviction. He said, we're not even careful to answer thee. Let me tell you something. A faith that cannot be threatened or intimidated does not give in to pressure. Think about it. A faith that cannot be intimidated. a faith that cannot be threatened. That's a faith that cannot give in when the pressure gets on you. Amen? So now, number two, about conviction. If it be so, have a faith that can stand up in the face of reality. I hear a lot of people, you know, talking about God said, God said, God said. I used to pastor this lady. She was a very nice lady, and she did a lot for God, but every now and then she'd get way out there, and I'd have to reel her back in. And one day, or about a week there, every day she'd call me, she'd tell me God had changed his mind. She said, I know this is God. I know this is God. This has got to be God. I feel a burning in my chest. And then the next day she'd say, God changed his mind. And she said, but I know it's God because I got a burning in my chest. And I said, sister, there's two things you need. She says, what? I said, a Bible and a box of Rolaids. Because God don't change his mind every day. Amen. If you got a burn in your chest, it might just be heartburn. Amen. Okay. So that reality, we need to face reality. Just like Job and these guys here, they were in the real stuff. You know what? In this last couple of years especially, I've seen so many real things. And if we're not careful, we'll give in. Matter of fact, it's easier to give in. So first, men of confidence, or men of confidence also, I mean of conviction, but also have confidence. It says, God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Have a faith that is always subject to the divine will of God. It said, God is able. We know he can. We know this, and we're going to trust him whether we go in or not. We're still going to trust him. It says, and will deliver us out of your hand. Have a faith that knows God will deliver you from the hand of the enemy. See, there's a difference in the furnace and the hand of the enemy. First, it said God is able to deliver us from the furnace. When it comes to the enemy, it said God will deliver us from you. Either way, we're not going to fall subject to you. You know, my boys really... The older they get, the more, it seems like the more stuff they do that brings pride to me. And I think about back on in the day, and like today, DC was telling us something at lunch, and he stood up to show us, and he looked over at Linda and started laughing. And he said, I feel like it's my dad talking to me. He was talking to Sierra, his Sierra. And he said, he said, every time I turn around, I'm being my dad. And I said, well, is that such a bad thing? Amen. And he stood up yesterday. He stood up for her and all the team, and it was really amazing. And today it made such a big difference. You know, but again, he knew God had his back. Amen? We need to be standing up, not be so afraid of every little thing that's going to happen to us. Amen? And look, finally, be a person of commitment. It says, but if not, we will not serve thy gods. Have a faith that will be committed to God regardless of the outcome. We put so many conditions on God. I've even quit putting fleeces out because sometimes you start putting fleeces out and you'll have so many fleeces out there and you'll be so confused you won't even know what's going on. You need to learn to trust God when he tells you something. Trust him. Trust him. Be a person of conviction, be a person of confidence, and be a person of commitment. Because you know, when they stood like that, God took care of them. I'm going to let you, already know the way the story ends, but I'm going to tell you, and then we'll talk about lessons learned in the heat next week. They threw him in. He looks and he hears something. He's used to hearing screams. He hears praises. And he looks inside and he sees Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, the fourth is like the Son of God walking around in the fire. Wow. And the cool thing in the heat is when he called them out, three went in, he saw four, and three came out. Where was the fourth man? He's there in your furnace. He's there with you when the heat is on. When it's burning down your neck, when the heat is on, God will take care of you. Amen. Told you I want to keep you long. But here's what I want you to do. If you will, I want you to come up here and let's pray. And we're going to ask God, especially in this last day, to be ready to serve him even with the heat on. Amen. Be ready to serve him no matter what. God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you whether they like what I got to say. I'm going to serve you whether they don't. I'm going to serve you if they tell me everything's all right. I'm going to serve you if the doctor says it's all going downhill. I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch us. Help us, God, to understand that you are as close as a mention of your name. Help us also, Lord, to understand that no matter what the devil throws our way, we can be confident that you got our back. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us, Lord, to understand that everything's under control, to understand that you've got everything marked out. We may not understand it. We may not even can even sense your presence at times, but you're always there. And we thank you for it, Lord. 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 Have your will in our lives, Lord, and help us have conviction. Help us, Lord, to have confidence. Help us, Lord, to have courage to stand in this last day. To let the world know that we trust you and that we're going to stand. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're God. You're God. You're awesome. And you're God. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us all. We know, Lord, that you're soon coming. Help us to be ready. Help us to be ready. Help us to be ready. In the name of Jesus. We love you. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. God, you're awesome. God, you're awesome. God, you're awesome. Anybody else want to come and pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We trust you, Lord. No matter how we feel, we trust you. No matter what we see, we trust you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. I want to tell you something, because it get all, you know how people get telling things, it gets all crazy. Burton has a pancreatic cyst. We need to be praying for him. It's a pancreatic cyst. It's precancerous. Precancerous. So they're getting ready to do a surgery on him. And he may be in the hospital for a week or two. And the recovery itself may take a while. But if anybody asks or anything, you tell them that you heard this. This is Mark. I said, Mark, tell me what to say. So everybody can hear the same thing. Because I know it's going to bounce back and forth. And so, because it is pretty, it's not simple, okay? Burton has a pancreatic cyst, okay, precancerous. So they're going to take it out of him before it can turn to cancer. It's going to put him in the hospital one more time for a week or two and a long recovery period. But we know God is able. Amen, we know God is able. And he's not afraid. He trusts God. His family's trusting God. We're all trusting God. But you're liable to hear all kinds of things. You know, that he's got a week to live or he's got cancer all over his body. No, it's a precancerous cyst on his pancreas. Okay? And they're going to, and it's still touchy. It's still a tough surgery for 86 years old. But it's worth the risk to take it out. And so just remember, if anybody tells you back and forth, you can tell them, well, we heard from Mark. Okay, Burton will be the horse's mouth. We heard from the horse's colt. Okay, but he's gonna. But Burton should be fine. Amen. Amen. Brother, you dismiss us in prayer, please, Brother Baker.